Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome to Missing Page of History. The world will not get better, not unless you and me change it. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Page of History. As always, the show is dedicated to underserved communities. We will try to provide you information so you can use this information to help improve your communities as well as the world. As Brother Teddy Pendergrass stated in his opening introduction, the world will not get better unless we come together and make it better. We welcome you again to Missing Pages. And today we're going to attempt to continue to travel down this road of filling in our missing pages by having a general discussion. We're going to have a talk with Mr. J. We're going to talk about some things you need to know, and we're going to talk about issues that will fall under such topics as breaking news, world affairs, etc. We'd like to invite you to come and join the air by dialing 818-337-0016. But before we start our discussion with Mr. J, we'd like to welcome our contributor and member, Susie, and she can tell you a little bit of upcoming events and how you can support Missing Pages. Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Good evening. Hi, I'd like to make all our listeners aware that we have our ongoing MPH radio program. The next one will be September the 23rd, and that's at 1 o'clock p.m. And you can access us by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. And then you can get the program while we are live. Or you can even go back and listen to it later. And also one of the other ongoing ongoing ways you can support us. We have the MPA T-shirt cab drive that's ongoing, and this is now we're in the process of our summer drive, so please join us by contacting us at 804-726-3217 to purchase your T-shirt and cap. And last and final, we're starting our fall program, which is the MPH TV show, which will be held on Comcast Channel 95 and Fios Channel 36. And this is Wednesday nights from 9 to 10 p.m. And the first show starts September the 13th. And it's also a live call in, and we hope you'll join us by calling in.
Again, the program is on the 13th of September, starting at 9 p.m. And we also would like to reinforce again, for more information, please visit our website, www.mphinc.org. We thank you, Susie, and to our listening audience today. We're going to get started with this program. We'd like to, first and foremost, welcome Emmanuel Joyner, which today we'll call him Mr. J. Mr. J, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you. Welcome, welcome. I'm glad to be here.
You know, Mr. J, there are so many things going on in this world today, and we'd like to have like a general open discussion on many issues that people may have not thought about, and we want to share with them more perspectives to make them, that might make them reconsider a different way of looking at things. You as a historian, as a contributor to the MPH, we'd like to get your perspective. Let's just start off with breaking news as we deal with this current weather crisis. What's going on with the various hurricanes that's coming through this way, or that have came through this way? When we talk about global warming, Mr. J, what are we really talking about, and what are some of the things people need to look at in terms of its impact? That's before it comes and after it comes. Because I know a lot of people who have already lost their homes, the reality is they may be in a world, a different world when they come back, or may not even be able to come back to the area. But give us your thoughts on global warming, its impact, and how the government is dealing with it.
Well, we look at the storm we have now. We look at the past storm we just had, Harvey, the devastation. You can either go far back as Hurricane Andrews and see the devastation there in Homestead, Florida. That was 1992. I visited that particular area. My brother had a, he was working for FEMA. I was working with FEMA also, so we helped rebuild Homestead, the home, this type of thing. But looking at this storm, Irma, this is something different. Climate change, which our president did not sign on to it. And, well, you know, because Obama was attached to it, so he's not going to do anything that Obama, you know, signed on to and through executive orders. And whatever. You know, so he's just, that's his whole challenge, has been executive orders that Obama, nothing original coming from him. But climate change is here. You can see the storms, how they're coming. September's a storm month, of course. Florida is going to be hit, according to the news weather, the weather people basically, the meteorologists and these type of people, they say it's going to be the most devastating storm we ever had probably in history. You're talking about replaced people. People probably not come back. You're talking about businesses. People's lives totally in disarray. I think at the moment, I'm not sure the numbers, but close to 16 million people have exited from Florida on their way out of Florida. The storm should hit sometime tomorrow afternoon and devastating blows. We're still getting the remnants of it now. But again, we have to be diligent and obey what's going on, because again, Harvey, this is something different. We just allocated money for that, was close to $8 billion. There's going to be about 15 to 20. Houston's a big time city. It's the fourth largest city, I think, in the country. And 3/4 of this city and our surrounding areas are up underwater. It can't be colored, but it's hard to build things. Excuse me, with water. But again, the world is devastated by this because these are two important areas. Miami, one, the three, I call the trifecta, the California, Florida, and New York, I call the trifecta, that basically run this country to a certain extent. They look at the economy of California. It was a nation being number 8 and in the world. Excuse me again. Disney World there. We haven't any reports on Disney World as of yet, but you won't know until after the storm is over. It'll probably be there 2 or 3 days moving across. It's only going 9 to 10 miles an hour, so it's moving very slow. And that's devastating. That's construction type of movement. Winds about 125 miles an hour, category 4. It'll probably go down to a 3. But again, people need to exit, get up out of there, go with your family, get as far away as you can, basically at least 300-400 miles away from there. And again, you can't repair life. A life is only once. You can repair tangible things. You can get those things back again. But the aftermath, what the government's going to do about it, basically, again, allocate money. We just hope that people like Halliburton, the big companies that come in, just don't take the money. Line their pockets like they normally do, and nothing gets done. That much get done for the money, so we got to make sure that doesn't happen. So we got to look at it, and areas on the privileged, on the served, we got to make sure that they get built with parity. You cannot have, this country deals with so much inequality. You got to make sure. This is Florida. Florida is about almost 60% minority from different people all over the country, and you got to make sure that the rich areas as well as the poor areas get reestablished again as usual. But again, you look at tax base first thing they look at first. Very discriminating how they do the money and who get the contracts. And most of the time they're overcharging for the contracts. This is time to gouge. Hotel rooms are up. The flights going out of there, they're way up. Of course, the gas is same thing as gouging, so you got to watch out for the gouging. That's going to happen. The looting going to start off. So all these things are part of this disaster. Everything becomes disastrous. All we can do is just pray. And all people just do right. All we ask is for is things to do right. Don't get corruption involved, but it happens all the time. Anytime you have a capitalism-type government, corruption is going to happen, especially with commodities. The three C's, I call them, commodities, corruption, capitalism, all three in the same, but they're in the same basket. It happens. So be ready for it. Again, don't take it too seriously because it's going to happen. It always happens. It's not going to stop now. When they see money, billions of dollars, and you can steal millions out of billions, they're going to do this. It's just the way they are. Back to you,
Homer. Yeah, how does this budgeting thing work? Let's take a look at how much money it costs the government to run on a yearly basis. It's my understanding about $4.3 trillion for a whole year for the government to work. Mm-hmm. Now, when you come to disasters like this, give the people a sense of what would they be looking at? How would they break down the money? For example, recently this week I heard that FEMA has basically already ran out of money for the people who have been impacted in Houston. So how are they going to deal with this Florida situation? And how do they prioritize? What factors? Who get what money? What areas are more priority than others? You alluded earlier in your presentation that some areas produce more. Based upon their wealth and production, that's who the attention will be focused to. So can you talk to us a little bit more on how do they look at or classify how money is spent, where, who will get it?
Well, first you got to, I'm going to move the politics out of it, because politics is just to play the big part of it. The city man, most cities have mayors and city managers. City manager write the checks, basically. They're the one that does the budgeting. FEMA, like I said, ran out of money because there's a budget set for FEMA. And I think the president cut some of the, they call it the waste out of FEMA. because FEMA, again, gives the cost of certain things, because you got certain contractors who do this. They do it all the time, so and they overcharge. But again, you know, how much is being audited by certain people? Again, politics get into play, money gets into play all the time. It's capitalism. But again, the allocation of the money, let's say the budget is $4.3 billion, and again, you divide that by 12. So that's basically, might say, it's $350 billion be taken in with taxes, whatever, the money. The biggest, of course, goes to the health. Health is our largest military. The Department of Defense is number two, over $600 billion. Health is almost $800 billion. That includes Social Security, everything else, Medicaid, Medicare, and all of that. So those are your two biggest. I don't have the number what FEMA gets. I know they got cut. When you have a disaster, something like Harvey, that, of course, Katrina, I think it's $10 billion they allocated from the beginning. $10 trillion. New Orleans is not quite like Houston. Houston is a chemical city. A lot of chemical, most of the chemicals come out of there. Fourth largest city. 30% is in poverty. Unemployment is over 20-some-odd%. You got to look at the numbers. The allocation there, I think they gave $7.8 billion from the beginning. That's the start. It's going to probably take more than twice as much because, again, they're overcharging and authorization to overcharge. No one questions it too much because of the, you know, because of the, what went on, the disaster went on. So with the disaster, people, they gouge you, get gouged a lot. I heard that water, you know, if a case of water in Florida is $20-$25 or $3.99, normal $3.99. So now we're talking about tripling prices, and people like Halliburton, they will triple the prices, four times the prices, which then also with subcontractors, people file bankruptcy. I forget, you know, get the big checks. They file bankruptcy and just get up out and take the money. There's no prosecution behind. There's nothing with that. It comes, you know, it's all legal. That's what they do. Is file bankruptcy, don't pay anybody, and this is gonna happen in Florida. So Florida being probably number one or number two tourist state. Probably them over Disney World, but California has Disney World too, and all the other surrounding things also. Population is twice as large, of course, in California. Both of these are two tourist cities, along with, you know, along with New York and along with Washington D.C. These are top tourist cities. That's where they get their money from, basically, you know, tourism. This is gonna be devastating because the tax base will not be there anymore. Really, they don't have to pay taxes already. Well, it's going to be very, very limited how much money they can get from tech, because the businesses are gone. The tourist business is gone. How many people are coming back? So, again, this is going to be, this is going to be way up in the billions of bucks, more than Houston. You're talking about the whole state of Florida. This is going to be probably $30 to $40 billion or more. There's going to be a lot of help there, and it's going to be continuing help. So look for your taxes reform, look for taxes to go this way and that way, because, again, they have to get that money from somewhere. And we got wars going on, which is more money, more money. $4.3 billion is not enough. $350 billion a year is not enough, along with our disasters. You got a fire in California, huge fire. These things will continue probably to November. So these things are going to happen, and we got to be ready for it. So FEMA, please, got to have money at all given time. But, again, FEMA's one of those, you know, one of the departments that they use to filter money. Department of Defense and FEMA, and of course the health business. That is, these three goes over budget, and they get the money from Social Security. That's where the money comes from. But again, it's not a voted on type thing that much. Basically, it's an emergency type fund. It's always there. When the tax money, can they cut from education things? They cut from to make sure that FEMA, you know, because they got to generate their cash back again. They have to do that. How they do that is by taxes, and again, by people who is in business. They don't go back into business anymore. They just get paid, and they just you know, just go. Now, again, we got some, you know, provinces out there. Puerto Rico, we got, you know, we got some islands out there. We got to sort of look after too, because we got businesses in those islands, Bahamas, again, it's another tourist place, you know, with ships and everything else going up in there, cruise ships. That's money. So we got to look at this overall thing. Like I said, Harvey doing Houston, this is larger than Houston. Florida, this whole state, and what the state generates, one of the top three that generates money. And we generate money from the islands also. So we got to look at this from a long standpoint of money, 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 where it's going to come from. So you're going to see a lot of fighting over the money in Congress, a lot of money in the allocation, and who's going to get the money? Who's going to be the ones going down to serve? You know who that's going to be. Because Florida is about 60% minority. So we're going to have a huge problem there. But again, who had the businesses there? Especially the hotel business is going to be really struck very hard. The resort, that's a resort. Disney World is the biggest moneymaker there. But again, Miami, of course, is the money-making city. And again, you're talking about, you know, sports town on the Miami Heat, you know, Miami Dolphins, you're talking about the baseball team. It's a major. So now we're talking about a huge major. Like, these are the huge major because they got the same three types of sports also. But again, it's usually not a tourist attraction. Ships don't come in there, basically. Cruise ships leave out of there, going to feel overseas, going to different places. They leave out of Miami or Fort Lauderdale, places like that, as retirement. So now, again, it's going to be more money because of retirement people there. Again, that's a lot of money, people's special needs. All this got to come into play. My thing is, what they do with the special needs people who's on dialysis, people who, you know, who are in we might say, in sick bays, just at cancer center. All these places is wide open. Again, that's the retirement area. So this is more devastating than Houston, per se. What's more devastating? And the money has to come in huge. They probably start them off with $10 billion. That's where we are at the moment. So I hope I answered some of your questions, get some insight on some of the things that are happening. Again, you're going to have to watch the money. Once again, the money's going to be pocketed. It's going to be gouging. A lot of things, because they got to generate money. They have no state tax there. So you got to make up for what they would normally take up in state tax.
Mr.
Yes.
J, you
go
stated
ahead.
Earlier in terms of when we're talking about budgeting, and let's look at some of the details, where they can get the money. You mentioned that some of the money may be drawn from Social Security or the retirement system. Some people ask, how can they draw money from the retirement system when they're always claiming they're running out of money now? So how did they do that?
37 years for what Social Security will be even touched or hit. That's where the money is. Social Security has plenty of money. They have already did some things to Social Security that makes it, you know, generate money. Like I said, if you're married and you know, wife and husband, when one passed away, you used to get the wife's check or the husband's check. So you got two checks, two full checks, Social Security checks. That don't happen anymore. Doesn't happen that way anymore. So Social Security is being saved by adding that component to it. How they take away from it. You get one check now, or you get a difference. That's an example. The husband said, husband getting $1,500 a month. Easy math. And the wife getting $1,200. Well, you only get, you get the top check, $1,500. Whichever was the top, but the larger check, that's what you get. That's the only check you get. But let's say the wife died and she's doing $1,200. And the husband died and he gets $1,500, you're getting $1,200. You'll get $300 extra, so you still get $1,500. So you get the top of the check, that's what you're going to get. So one time you're getting $2,700. $1,500 and $2,700. But now you're only getting $1,500. That's how Social Security got saved the first time around. Most people don't know that. So you don't get, so you get the one check to whoever's the highest Social Security. So they get money from there and they get it from the Department of Education. That's where the money's come from most of the time, from those two. Because they have the most budgeting. And of course, the health care. They try to cut costs. The Obama plan, this, that, they're trying to cut that. Because health care is your largest budgetary item, for $700,000. And it's steady going up, $700 billion, steady going up again because of, I'll tell people over and over again, health creates wealth. And I've worried too much about the health. It's the wealth they get from that. Hospitals make plenty of money. Doctors make plenty of money. Pharmaceuticals make plenty of money. So you're not going to stop that. Everything they make basically has side effects to make sure they create this patient again, because, again, you need patients, and they got to keep creating patients. They have to do that, and that's where money is. That's where they get it from. They can't get it from
Mr.
the city.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people stated that when you're talking about the nature of the system that we live under, capitalism, they say that you can't make money doing the right thing. What do they mean by that? You can't make money doing the right thing. Can you share your thoughts on that for our listening audience?
It's almost like war and peace. Peace don't make any money. War makes money. It's the same thing. Doing the right thing, which means equality. Everybody, you know, based like a utopia. Everybody, doing the same. Everybody making this, almost the same amount of money as a living wage. Everybody, poverty is $30,000 a year. Why you got people making 15 and 14 and 13, knowing they're in poverty? Well, why everybody can't make at least 30,000? That's the minimum. The capitalists decided they're not going to do that. That's the right thing to do. Everybody made basically minimum $30,000 a year. That's where poverty is, 30,000 family of four. That's the number. $15 an hour is the number. Why I pay people $7.25? See, they're not doing it right. They're not going to do it right. You got to have cheap labor. Nobody get rich off of, everybody thinking X amount of labor money, a cost. So that doesn't work. It's like rich and poor. I don't say we make everybody rich. Was everybody middle class? When you look at the disparity, what makes it like what it is, doing the things right. But what's right? Everybody has a right to vote. Yes, correct. Everybody has a right to get a job, to make, everybody can buy a house. See, that's doing things right. Don't want it like that. You don't have, for that, you don't have capitalism. You don't have that. So everybody wants equal. But it doesn't work. Capitalism don't work on equality. It works on inequality. That's what it works on. It don't work on it. It takes up to be over and over again. You have to have what you have to make it work much as it does work at the moment. You got to have taxes. Everybody's not going to pay taxes. People have write-offs. You can't write your call. A real estate person can write their call. Movie stars can write off makeup, they can write off clothes and everything. You can't write your clothes off. You go to work like they go to work. But the profession is acting. So they have more write-offs than you have. So how are you going to do tax reform? You can't do tax reform, basically, unless you got to leave somebody out. Somebody going to be hurt by the tax reform. A lot of people need to hurt the masses, basically. But you can't hurt the masses that much because it's where you got to get money from. This country has about 1,800 billionaires. Nine are black. One got over $1 billion in cash. Just one. Look at the percentage of that. Over 1,800. 10% of that is 180. Well, you ain't got but nine. What's 1% of that? You pouring over 1% of billionaires. When blacks leave this world, the asset's about $8,000. When whites leave this world, it's 118,000. That's a disparity because they're not going to integrate the money. They're doing it right. Racism is going to stay because they want to integrate the money. Everything else, it's okay. But we're not going to integrate the money. Racism is here to stay regardless of how much you organize, regardless of what you do. If everything stayed the same, to get equality is 250 years away. To get equality, it's 250 years away, but the right policy making with the right. This how long equality is away from you reaching $118,000 per year, and you're at $8,000 now. You're 250 years away. So you have a long time away for equality. That's being right and being wrong. Right is better for white people, it's better. For blacks and minorities, no. It's not going to work that way. Capitalism doesn't work that way. Capitalism works on three things. It works on basically, number one, it's just money, capital. what's so much? Who has the money? And number two is a commodity. And number three is corruption. So to have capital, you have to have corruption. And you got to have commodities. Who are commodities? Commodities were slaves all the way up. They were commodities. For 250 years, 275, you didn't get paid a dime. That's why our guys, people are rich today. They didn't work hard. It wasn't about work. Working hard at discrimination, working hard at Jim Crow, working hard at segregation. That's the only work they ever done hard. You're not going to turn the wheel back and white people are going to become slaves for 275 years and don't get paid. That's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. But they're going to still throw words at you to make you feel that you have an opportunity. But you don't have an opportunity. You got desire to have an opportunity, but you don't have opportunity. They're not going to let that happen. It doesn't work under capitalism.
At this time, you are listening to Missing Pages of History. We are a biweekly program. Come on every other Saturday. We encourage you, our listening audience, to come and participate. And you can do that by calling 818-337-0016. We are having a discussion with Mr. J on various issues and topics. Our theme is A Talk with Mr. J, Things You May Not Know. We would like to share with you that you are invited to call in on issues and current events and share your thoughts. We will open up our line shortly. We'll take one more question from Mr. J, and then we'll bring in our listening audience. Mr. J, before we bring in our listening audience, I would like to raise this issue with you in terms of how does race plays out, okay? How does race plays out as it relates to policy makers, as it relates to sports, as it going to relate even to this event that's going on in Texas and Florida? So how talk to the listening audience about those questions of race and how that plays out in various forms, from policymakers to sports, and to this current crisis that's going on in the United States dealing with the weather.
Well, let's go to sports. It's more specific in sports. Everything else is accommodated. In sports, you look at, let's take one sport. Let's take football for the beginning of football season. Just started. Guys who are football fans or football, you know, prognosticators. They got the sporting world. Some bet on, you know, football, whatever. Some sons play it, family members play it, and they know people that play football and go into different universities. As you look at it, of course, it's, you know, it's the most extorted, you know, you say football, you know, what it is, what racism really occurs, wholesale. Of course, you have so many players. You have colleges doing it, basically. Junior colleges do it from high school. You know, the junior, like I said, junior colleges. You got the major 125 universities. The budget is enormous. NC got rules, NCAA rules, all these kind of things happen. Of course, you got the NFL. That's the graduating point of the NFL when you graduate from midget football to Pop Warner. Race plays a big part in sports, like some picking football at the moment. Let's look at football. Race. 7% of the players on the team are African American. One time you couldn't even play at all. You'd have an intelligence to play. That's how they play you. Because 90% of negative news is pointed towards you. Well, 10% of negative news is pointed toward whites. Race plays a big part. They made sure they pronounced and made sure that sports writers, they motivate their columns writing about you as negative as possible when it's negative showing up. So things like domestic violence, this type of thing shows. I don't know, make sure they prop this up to a certain extent. That's negativism again. Drinking, DUIs. The recent incident in Las Vegas, that showed a black man being handcuffed in the casino, say, looking for a shooter. Now, you know and I know and people listen to know that we don't, basically I'm saying we don't. I'm saying 98% of the time, 90%, we don't shoot in the crowded areas like theaters, schools, casinos. We don't do this type of thing. The FBI can tell you that. These things we don't do. We don't do mass killing. I'm just saying 2% of us might do, but 90% we don't do this. But again, they prop it up like we. Now, in no way that Marcellus Bennett and a casino are going to be a shooter. But he's an activist. He's spoken about, you know, about the national anthem, what it stands for, especially the fourth stanza. You're talking about slaves. But, so you look at, but again, you go back to football, and again, all the negative press is basically about, and on promotion is done with black players. Ezekiel, the running back for the Cowboys. Look at this. This is something different. From Rice, something different. We're in the news negative most all of the time. Not promoting us in no type of way. But again, they said do not promote them. Well, we don't get promoted. So we go to the football team, the owners, there are no black owners. None. Go to the general managers, go to this type of thing. I think we have 3. 32 teams now. We got 3. But we're 70% of the pawns are playing, like on a chessboard. We're the pawns. We make the money. We're the superior athletes. We're the superior commodity. Playing, actually playing, we are 90% of the players on the field. Look at the defense. Look at the offense. Only whites on the team basically playing quarterback, which is about 85%, you know, white quarterback. The kicker, the punter, the long snapper. This would, when you add those to the overall team of 53 players, you come down to 70%. But they're not playing. You know, the kicker not playing, long snapper plays, you know, sparingly, field goal kicker. So the ones that are playing basic most of the time are based in 9 or 10 players on defense. Sometimes all defenses are black. And go to the offense. Sometimes the whole offense is black when they have a black quarterback back there. Like Buffalo, the whole team is there except for one player on offense. The whole is black. So you're playing 22 players on both sides of the ball, and you're playing 90% black most of the time. Let's go to the coaching. I think we have 5 black coaches. That's all we got out of 32. Again, we're the players. This has been the way it's been for a long time. It's going to stay this way. Of course, it's all about the money. We have 31 or 32, I think, of the defensive, offensive coaches, you know, linebacker coaches, you know, back coaches, you know, running back coaches. But this is where we are in sports. Same thing with basketball. How many black coaches do we have? How many basketball players we got playing? Basketball is about 92% black that are playing. They're bringing in European players to try to do something, to try to make it a little bit white. But they're not superior players. We are superior players. So how many are coaches? How many are general managers? I mean, this is where we are. How many are owners talking about? This foot breaks at $118,000 per opposed to $8,000. But all they do is talk about how much basketball players are making, how much of the owners are making. This is a $9 billion business. You're talking about a few thousand dollars, and after 5 or 6 years, you're just about through. Do you get a job somewhere else, coaching, or get a job in the front office? That doesn't happen. So this is what we're talking about. This is what I'm talking about, racism. If you don't integrate the money, racism is here to stay. You can paint it the way you want to paint. You can organize without money. It ain't going to work. None of this stuff works. Just the way it's set up. Not unless you basically boycott or sanction. That's the only way it's going to work. That's going to be a lot of due time and due years. And you got to deal with the craziness, you know, from white people that's going to handicap you as much as they can. Same way with businesses. It's the same thing. They do not want you to integrate the money. Don't want that to happen. I think I said this before, there's 35,000 black millionaires. You got 295,000 just in LA alone. We're talking about the whole country got 35,000 black millionaires. That's all you have. according to Black Enterprise magazine. That's all you got. You got 295,000 millionaires in L.A. Not San Diego, not San Francisco, not Oakland, California, not Sacramento. We're talking L.A. And they broke it down to 95,000 attorneys, lawyers in L.A. So it's three times. This is attorneys that are millionaires. And we got 35,000 black millionaires over the whole country. Baseball, I think it's about 9% black players now. More like 28% when you count the Latino players who are still colored. You want to get people of color playing. So, again, you got one-third of the baseball world. That's people of color again. But look at the salaries in there. Who's making the money? See, the pitchers make all the money, basically. Most of them, they're 80%, 85% white. So, again, position, who's making the money? Football quarterback, who makes all the money? The quarterback, they can't even mediocre. Being the Rocket, you get $25 million being mediocre. Paid the highest paid player, the quarterback of the Detroit Lions. What has he done? It's hard for a black person to get $5, $10 million crazy money. I mean, they can't get nothing. And we're doing all the work, running back, running the ball 25, 30 times. He just throwing the ball and getting the credit. Because most of the time, the catch is after the catch. So he gets 5,000 yards, they pay him for 5,000. He only throw 2,000 yards. But the other 3,000 yards is after the catch. After the black player done ducked two or three people out in the back and take 10 for a touchdown. So he throws a 7-8 yard pass, get credit for 80 yard, touchdown throw. This is what they do to numbers, promote numbers to make sure they make the money. It's all racism. Racism to make sure this happens a certain way. This is how they do it. I'm just giving you an overtake of what happened in sports. This is what they do. Mediocrity for them is excellent. We can't do mediocrity. It doesn't work. We have to be excellent. If I say twice as good, we are twice as good. We have to stop downing our people and prop them up. We got to promote our people at all given times. We have to keep doing that. Because how hard you work as slaves, they still call you lazy. And they on a horse with an umbrella. Riding a horse ain't doing no work. But they call you lazy. Those are things you have to knock down. Those are things you have to say. Who's lazy? We know who's lazy. When you hold 80% of people of color, 80% of the job, they're serving somebody else. Mainly Caucasians, Europeans. On ships and hotels, who making the beds up, who's cleaning everything? Same, same, same. The same chores, same everything. Everything is race. So they have been taught not to take orders from you. Military, the same thing. Military, nothing different. Racism is there, huge. We have 12% of the officers. We almost 40% of the military. Why? And the officers that we do have, they retire basically as majors or lieutenant colonels. Most of the whites, they retire full-bearer colonels and generals. Money, again, discretion. The whole thing is about the money. They're not going to integrate the money. Are they going to make 40% of the, of the enlisted men, 40% of the enlisted men in the military, are they going to make them officers and pay them the same kind of money? Nope. You don't get the same retirement money? None of that. Your retirement is like $8,000 less per month than the white. This is the kind of money we're talking about money. This is capitalism. They're going to make sure that they keep the money. We got, 51 gas stations in the whole country. 51. How much gas we buy? It's amazing. 5 chicken fillets in the whole country. 5. Whether we like chicken fillet. We have nothing, people. We have nothing. We're in the prison, but we don't bill them. So they don't allow you to pay them anymore. You don't bill the bars anymore, none of that stuff. Or look at all the vendors in the prison. Same thing. Sears, J.C. Penney, McDonald's, Wendy's, they're in the prison system. Reebok, You can't put no products up in there. Same with the Department of Defense, the government contracts. 98% of the white firms have them. You doing nuts and bolts. You ain't making no money off of that. You need to make helicopter propellers. They're $1 million a piece. Let's make those. I'm not going to let you do that. They're going to keep the money where they got it. They're going to keep the money like they got it. $118,000 per white, $8,000 per black. The integration, don't integrate the money. Racism is here to stay. Like I said before, you're 250 years away from equality.
All right, Mr. G, we're going to put you on hold for a second. We have some people who've been listening patiently. This is Missing Pages of History. We're going to bring in our listeners. We are having a basically talk with Mr. Jed, talking about things you may need to know. And you can share your perspectives on some of the issues and breaking news that are going on today. Based upon what you have heard or what you would like to state as it relates to this particular theme today, we will bring you in by calling out your last four numbers. Right now, we'll take caller 6029. We'll take caller 6029. Welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Your thoughts for today's program, Paul, would you like to share with the listening audience?
Yeah, my position is when we talk about the state of the U.S. economy, we have to talk about the fact that the system is in fact precarious. One of the things when we talk about in terms of total amount of money in circulation, the U.S. government puts that figure at something like $26 trillion. But when we look at it in terms of the national debt, we're talking about unofficially something like $24 trillion. So clearly in terms of this illusion that, in fact, that money exists, it's simply an accounting trick that is utilized by those in power. So we've got to get an understanding that this lack of affordable housing, lack of health care, lack of quality schools, all this stuff is symptomatic of a fact of a system in decline. This is the thing that we have to understand. And when we talk about collusion, I think one of the things, when we look at the hurricane and what took place in Houston, and we look at it in terms of the insurance company immediately moved to ensure that the people's premiums in terms of their home insurance would not be honored, it's amazing. But you know, those people actually believe that, in fact, that you don't have to worry about that because most flood insurance is covered by the FEMA. But the problem is that when in the current economic situation of FEMA, FEMA is $25 billion in debt. And so clearly FEMA doesn't have the revenues in terms of being able to honor, its responsibility in terms of any premiums that people had under FEMA to take care of, you know, flood insurance. So clearly this country is in great distress, and no matter which way you cut it, the bottom line is that we got some serious things to do as an oppressed nationality in the context of North America. And I want to thank you for your time.
All right, caller, we put you on hold. We thank you for your response. And let's go to our next caller that's been waiting patiently. Caller 4644. Caller 4644. Welcome to Missing Pages of History.
You know, he was talking about the made mention of baseball. I trained baseball players mainly because I started training my grandson when he was five. He's a prospect today. But we can't get black kids, black youth, to come out and play baseball. They're concentrated on two sports. And you know, you talk about football. They concentrate in those areas that has the excitement of the game, like the running back or the tight end. You don't have many black players that I see, and I really don't follow football that closely, that's going out for the position and being nurtured in becoming a quarterback. So I think that you have what you have is because of the amount of effort that goes into producing what you have. And then you look at these other sports, the ones that are funded scholarship-wise by basketball and football at the college level. You got tennis, you have golf, archery, and those other sports that we don't participate in also. So there's enough blame to go around. And the way to change these things is that you got to put a systematic program in place that would help develop the people that you want to see enter into those areas. I just want to make that point.
All right. Thank you, caller, for your comments and your point. What I do, I go back to caller 6029, and then we'll come to Mr. J. And Mr. J, you can make your response to what you have heard so far. Caller 6029.
Yes. I listened to the last caller's response. I'm hard pressed to understand, you know, precisely the point that he's trying to convey. This notion that somehow we don't strive to move forward, and then when we look at the situations confronting the African community, that we don't understand them consciously to be an impediment, that we do in fact move to try to resolve these situations. So much of what he talked about has to do with more with in terms of exposure than anything else. It's not that African children don't want to play baseball. The fact is, the reality is that unless the people in the community are willing to finance, you know, such kind of, you know, sports, then the reality is those kids simply not privy to those kind of sports. It has nothing to do in terms of people's unwillingness to participate. So I'm hard pressed to understand the point that he's trying to make. I think also he totally dismisses the question in terms of the ills of the economy. He totally dismisses it. Somehow it's a fantasy world that everything's okay, everything's going to be okay. Well, it's not going to be okay. When you look at per capita income, you know, in this country, particularly when you talk about national income as the impact African people, clearly it's a joint enumerated. You know, clearly we're at the bottom of the heap. So clearly we got some real problems. I don't think any type of superficial analysis is going to do anything in terms of moving us forward against these overwhelming odds that we're confronted with. So, you know, I'm going to close with that, brother, and I just want to thank you for helping me speak my piece.
Thank you, Carlo. Mr. J, heard a few comments. I'd like to get your response to some of the things you have heard. Give me your take on these responses.
That's what I talked about, sports. We do, sports again, baseball again, have to be financed. We had one time, most of the baseball players over 50% black. The Willie Mays of the world, the Roberto Clemente, San Francisco had like 8 or 9 black players at one time. But again, it was too black. Baseball is American tie. They had to get it down. What they started doing, bringing in players from Latin, other places, again, they abandoned us to a certain extent. Again, they started doing certain things to us. That don't we took baseball out of the black universities. I had 110 black universities, now we got, I think, 61. They took it out, stopped financing baseball. They started answering football. Just to give you a number, Ohio State, their athletic budget, twice as much as all the black universities put together. Twice as much. All right? So you can't finance it, basically. Quarterback has always been a discriminating position. I remember at the time we had black quarterbacks outstanding. They would make them into defensive backs because that's a very discriminating position on a football team. That's the CEO of the football team. They don't want you to be that, the leader. They criticize you like no one else. So blacks didn't want to do that, play quarterback that much because they get reduced to a defensive back or something of a flanker when they get to the pros. Of course, you're not going to play that position. Well, black colleges and white colleges now, most of them now, 30% of white colleges have black quarterbacks. At one time, it was only 3%. Now it's 30% because they want to win. We're the superior athlete. We do try out for it. They put numericals on us. They do certain things. You got to qualify, accumulate CP. You got to have a GPA of this 2.5, some lower to the 2. All this stuff come into play. Scholarships come into play. So all this stuff, all these, you might call them barriers come into place for black people. We got to overcome these barriers. Just too many barriers. They put them up all the time. The president we got now putting up more barriers. They get anything. We worked 275 years. That's why they're so far ahead of us. They're going to take 250 years to catch up. Understand that. We had nothing. You couldn't own nothing. you couldn't get a license, only a barber shop and a funeral home until the 1900s. Couldn't embalm anybody. Understand what goes on with history here. Things that you cannot do. You couldn't get segregation until 1965. Wasn't allowed to be a hotel manager. You were going to make up the beds. Understand discrimination. Yes, we try all we can. But they're taught not to take orders from us. Understand that. You're not going to tell a white man what to do. We can't get that through our thick skull for some reason. But that's
all right, let's take one more phone. Mr. J, let's try to take.
I'm going to
finish your point, and we'll take one more phone call before we close out. Go ahead.
About the economy, $20 trillion. You know, we borrowed money to have these wars. Clinton balanced the budget. Zero. Didn't have no debt. Well, Republicans, they love debt. They love wars because they make money off of wars. I said before, wars make money. Peace don't make any money. You have to have somebody to drown stuff in. You have to have somebody that's poor. Because the two words are poor and rich. For people lock it or not. It's just what it is. Have and I have not. And they're going to make sure around this world, where you're in Haiti, where you're in Dominican, where you're on the islands, where you're in France, where you're in Britain, you're the have-nots, kept where you go. You're the have-nots. Where you're in Brazil, you're the have-nots, where you're locking or not. And we're 250 years apart from that. But the economy, we got plenty of money. We print money. But we borrow money. For what reason? To try to say we have a budget. You can print all the money you want to print. It's not a problem. But how the money is divvied out? It's how it's divvied out to a budget. We take up $350 billion every month to sort of take this country where it needs to be taken to. We can get rid of that debt in no time if you wanted to, but you can't do it with war and overpaying people. Overpaying people. We do that a lot. We do that a lot. So when are we going to stop doing that? When are you going to stop paying CEOs $20, $30 million to run a company not even there? And paying the workers $10, $12. See, that's where our problem is. It's all about make sure the have and the have not exist. Capitalism exists on have and the have nots. That's what they exist on.
Okay. Let's take our last comment for the night, then we'll have to close out. We have caller 4298, been waiting real patiently. Caller 4298, any comments or questions you'd like to raise for the day, caller?
No, I really don't have any questions. I thought it was interesting that the black schools are not promoting baseball in the budget, and that Ohio State budget is so much more for football. And I thought it was interesting. But I'm just listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Emmanuel. Can you just get a summation on some of the thoughts that you expressed today for our listening audience? And then we will share some updated information on MPH, and we'll be looking forward and seeing, listening and talking to our listeners on the 23rd of September. Your final thoughts for today, Emmanuel.
Well, actually, I try to incite people exactly what's going on with numbers, numbers that are true. How many people know that the government runs off $350 billion per month? Very few people know that. That's multiplied it by 12. But again, you got plus the military is a plus, health is a plus, disaster is a plus, the two storms, Harvey and Irma, that's a plus. The fire, all these are plus items. FEMA has a budget on what it is off the top of my head. But everybody has to have a budget to work with. Probably education, all the secretaries got budget to work with. And things happen. People retire, you're paying two people. A police officer retire, a police retire, you're paying him, you're paying the one that just came on. So you're paying two police officers. Teacher just retired, you're paying her or him, and you're paying the teacher's teaching. See, it's catching up with you, per se. So this is what we're double, everything is double, basically. Somebody retire, you got to pay them X amount of dollars. And the person come take the place, you got to pay them X amount of dollars. So it's catching up with the capitalism catching up with. So you got to keep cheap labor, or you got to pull that labor out of the country and get cheaper labor to make capitalism work. We're dealing with China because we borrowed money from China. Our debt, like I said, is due to China. China, Japan, all these places, you know, that we're dealing with, it's about debt. And we borrow money. It's 0.5%. And we borrow money to offset the trade. While China gets 30% of our trading and makes 30% of our products because that's the deal we make with them. The TPP, that's what it's all about. The NAFTA with Mexico and Canada, this is trading with them because we're borrowing money from them. We're trying to keep our budget within like anything else. You know, you got your credit cards, you get this, you want to try to keep in the budget, keep your mortgage paid, everything else, but you borrow money like the United States borrow money too. All you got to do is kill the debt, but you're not, because you want to live. You want to live a pretty good life, vacation, do this, and buy a new car, this, that. So you get in debt. Are we in debt? So we want certain things we want to do. If you see the steady building things, roads still going up, roads getting paid, Department of Transportation, everything you see is still working. It's all a facade. That's all it is. It's all a facade. But capitalism still, it's one of the better because everybody have not everybody, but most people have a chance to succeed. To succeed. Because the government, after a while, they pay you Social Security, what you paid into. That's your money that you paid into. You can still live. And you find different places to live and different levels of living, which is that's up to you to do that. So if you live out of your means, that's up to that's you. So people that understand it's very political. Understand the quarterback position. That position was made for a white boy. It wasn't made for a black boy. We intrude in the area that you should protrude in. In the business area, we're intruding in the business area. Don't want you there. Don't want you there. So you're not going to get there. It's just going to limit you to a certain degree and point to it. Well, look what the basketball players are making. What are the owners are making? What are the agents are making that sign the basketball players? One agent made One agent makes $191 million. He don't play basketball. But he has signed over 36 basketball players, getting his 3 to 10%. Ain't nobody talking about him. He's a billionaire. He don't play basketball, but he gets the contracts for them. See, this is where the game is. Learn the game. Capitalism is a game. The blueprint is out there for you. Follow the blueprint. Become an agent of some of the basketball players. But then what's going to happen? They cut you off from the endorsements because you don't own nothing. You don't own Pepsi or Coca-Cola or Hanes. You don't own Gatorade. So you can't give a black basketball player that. That's why you're not the agent because you can't get an outlook to them. You can't do that stretch advertising for them. The first thing the white boy going to say is an agent, what can you do for yourself a baseball, basketball contract? Can he get you Gatorade? Can he get you Hanes? Can he get you Nike? You can't get none of that as an agent. That's why a lot of blacks are not agents because a lot of blacks don't hire, you know, blacks to be agents because they have the expertise, but they don't have that outlook. They don't have that program because you don't have no ownership. The whole thing is their own. They owned us from the beginning as slaves, and they own us now.
On that note, Mr. J, we'd like to thank you today for your contribution to the theme, A Talk with Mr. J, Things You Need to Know. We'd like to thank all our participants and our listening audience, and we ought to remind you that Missing Page of History is a radio show program that comes on biweekly, and the next program will be on the 23rd of September. We also like to remind you that on November the 1st will be our next quarter fundraiser raffle ticket drawing. So if you haven't purchased your tickets yet, you can do so by contacting one of the members. And MPH Live TV program will start airing on September the 13th on Comcast and Fio, channel 95 and 36 in the Richmond metropolitan area. You can see that program from 9 to 10 p.m. on Wednesday. And as Susan stated earlier, if you haven't received your CAP and t-shirt order yet, please do so. We're going from the summer into the fall. This is a continuing process. Please do so. And for more information, we always welcome you to come and join us and find out more about MPH by going to our website, www.mphinc.org. All contributions that are made to MPH are tax deductible, and you can send it to MPH, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Your membership and your financial support is welcome as needed. Come and join us. This has been Missing Pages History. Like always, let's continue to describe the book forward by filling in those missing pages of history. We thank you for supporting today's program.
My knees.